And away we go. Friday, 5 p.m., time for American Hit Radio. 90.3 WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City, New York is the station. The show is American Hit Radio. On Fridays, it's called How Music Changed Within American Radio, because that's what we do on Fridays, is discuss in depth how music changed. And we're going to do the same thing now. I'm glad you could join us for our, what we like to call triple happy hour, when Friday, 5 p.m. So you got a double happy hour there because it's also the weekend and it's time for How Music Changed. So this is pretty cool. I'm Tom Ryan, by the way, your host for the next hour. Olivia, wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan here at the boards.
I am.
And it may, look at that, occasionally on a microphone too. Surprises me when she does that. And we just finished up a half a year series, 26 shows, dedicated to Jimi Hendrix. It was pretty awesome. It ended quickly because, well, Jimmy's life ended very quickly. And I didn't want to get into all the stuff that went on after he passed, because I think most of the most important stuff was what was going on when Jimmy was alive and he was in charge of his own music. So that was that. But if I loved the 26 hours, if you could imagine. And if you're remotely interested, I really highly recommend that you go to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com. You might hear the commercials on the station going all over the place. They're all there and up and ready for you to check them out for yourself whenever you want to. For free, just go to AmericanHitNetwork.com. Or if you just search for American Hit Radio, it comes right up. That's the first thing you'll see, so you should be fine. So our new series, We vary between what I consider to be the contemporary stuff, which started around the early 60s. And you might say, contemporary, are you crazy? But I mean, the series starts at the beginning of the history of recorded music, which is to say the turn of the 20th century. And so that's what we've done. So I call that the way back section and then the contemporary section. We go back and forth. So since we finished Jimi Hendrix in what I would consider contemporary, now we are going to go way back. And we're going to do a series which I'm calling the American Anthology of Folk Music. This is part one of that series, as you can guess. Now, this new series is unusual compared to just about anything else that we've done, in that it is dedicated to the contents of a single box set of music. The anthology of American folk music may not be the most popular single album of all time, but it certainly is one of the most important albums ever made, if not the single most important album, period. Now, that might sound like I'm exaggerating, but the series was released just as the 12-inch 33 RPM record format was popularized back in 1952. Making it even more unusual for its time. Before 1952, music was disseminated mostly on 10-inch 78 RPM discs, so the novelty of an album containing multiple songs on each side of the disc was something of a novelty. And this box set containing multiple, this box was particularly special as it contained a collection of recordings by an agglomeration of near or totally forgotten folk artists. At first, the sales were abysmal, but the folk movement of the late 50s and early 60s generated an interest from a new generation that had genuine interest in America's music origins. So herein lies the roots of America's musical culture, a collection of obscure songs, to be honest, performed by regional, which means mostly rural, artists that from today's perspective almost sound like it's haunted. Most of the recordings were already 30 years old or more when the anthology of folk music was released in 1952, which is to say that they had been as forgotten as old newspaper and lost in the mists of time. As I speak to you now, though, those songs are now just about 100 years old. Unbelievable. Which only adds to me to the luster of importance that this music collection represents. Were it not for the fortuitous insight of Harry Smith, who is the iconoclast responsible for compiling these recordings for re-release in a quasi-illegal manner, by the way, because nobody seemed concerned about who may have owned the rights to these obscure recordings. Some of them are on like labels like Columbia. But Harry Smith had these old records, whether it was Columbia or whatever, put them all together and was able to release it, and nobody really cared. It's pretty amazing. So anyway, it is possible, if not likely, that America would have lost a gigantic chunk of its musical roots if it had not been for Harry Smith and these albums. In that sense alone, the anthology of folk music is nothing less than a miracle. So here is how our story begins. There's probably about 100 and some odd songs that we're going to be covering. There are a total of 4 double albums that were released. 3 of them in Harry Smith's lifetime. One of them happened later, actually not all that long ago, about maybe 15 years ago. They finally put on a fourth appendage. But it's great, so it stays in context with what this is all about. So we'll be able to do them all. Now, as I said, these songs are old. The first track we're going to play, for example, is from 1929. And the first 5 songs of this box set are all taken or make reference to the fact that they were at one time child ballads. Now, to explain that, it's a whole other thing. A guy named Francis James Child in the middle or the second half of the 19th century, 1870-ish or somewhere around there, decided that he would gather together all of the folk songs that were known to have anything to do with England and Scotland. And this is obviously well before there was any such thing as a record. So in 1870, he would collect all the texts of all of the songs that he could possibly find, and he would compile them. And he would end up with about over 300 traditional ballads that he put into book form. And this became pretty famous as a guide for our musical history, going all the way back to the 13th century in some cases. But keep in mind, because he didn't have any recordings. All he could do was print up, the lyrics and write down some of the music to convey what chord changes there were and that sort of thing. But nothing was quite like what Harry Smith was able to do, because what ended up happening really is that by the time that Harry Smith came along, almost all of these child ballads were forgotten, and they were no longer being played anywhere in England. What's crazy and really unusual is that when he went to investigate where he could, find what he could about this music, at one point he ended up coming to the United States. And he was literally on the East Coast in the mountain area, in the southern mountain areas, in Appalachia. And he started hearing people playing those songs that he had put down in his book as child ballads. It was like virtually unknown at this point in England. Turns out that it was thriving in the United States. There was just as you would imagine, people living in rural areas who came from Europe were now remembering the songs that were passed down over the generations. And so now they're playing things that they learned from their father or their mother or their grandfather or grandmother. And now they are playing these instruments. And there's a such thing as a recording machine. And there were people who were going into Appalachia and recording what was happening, what these people were doing. So the first track up, the first five songs out of this Harry Smith box set are all related to or come out of the what were called the Child Ballads books. The first track is by a guy named Dick Justice, and it is actually Child's number 68 in the list of Child Ballads. And you knew that Harry Smith knew this because he put in liner notes with every with every one of his albums, and he wrote what child ballad it referred to when it did. And the first five songs are there, all child ballads, and he put them in numerical order. So he was very familiar with what child ballads were, and it goes to, obviously, it indicates that these songs go back to at least the mid-1800s, if not earlier, but had come or remained alive in America. Now, Dick Justice, the other thing that he did that's really fun is that he pretty much took the lyrics of the song and he compiled them usually into one sentence. So you get like some idea of what the lyrics are about. So this song we're just about to play by Dick Justice, it's called Henry Lee. It's a vocal solo with guitar, recorded in 1932. And here is Harry Smith's explanation of the lyric intent. Scorning offer of costly trappings, bird refuses aid to night, thrown in well by lady. All right, then, here's Henry Lee by Dick Justice.
Get down, little Henry Lee, and stay all night with me. The very best lodging I can afford will be far better than this.
My bend and bow, my arrow and my string.
artist is Dick Justice. The song was Henry Lee. He was basically, he was a guy that did like an awful lot of, he was not only doing ballads, but he was also doing a lot of like blues music as well at that point in time. He was a neighbor to Frank Hutcheson, so they would sometimes record together. And we'll be hearing more about Frank Hutcheson later on in this series. Now, the person who had come to America who was shocked to see that these child ballads were still alive was a guy named John Jacob Niles. And when he heard it, he actually released an album called Appalachian Songs, songs that he had heard that he knew were related to the child ballads. He was an Englishman, so that fascinated him. So he recorded this album. He's a guy with a really, really strange high voice, very, to be honest, he's like probably difficult to listen to in today's day and age. But in around 19, in the mid-50s, I believe when he released his album, it was a big deal. And it started to become very influential among the folk movement that was starting to happen. It was also, the Carter family was one of the people who were discovered during this period of time. They also will be part of this series. But that was when artists like Joan Baez would pick it up. She'd find songs that were in the child ballad book and record some of them. But when Harry Smith put this collection out in 1952, at first, like I said, it was totally ignored. But because the folk movement was beginning to ferment, people like Bob Dylan, of course, were beginning to get famous in New York and eventually, of course, globally. But it was this huge scene in New York City, which is where Harry Smith was, you know, basically located with what he was doing as far as trying to get this thing distributed, that the folk fans in New York City were freaking out about what this record offered them, the material that it had, to the point where they would like memorize it. I mean, everything, every song. Eventually, like I mentioned, Joan Baez recorded the songs that were from here. The Everly Brothers did. In contemporary, or almost contemporary, bands like Fairport Convention and Steel Ice Span virtually made careers out of it. The Fleet Foxes have done some child ballads. Led Zeppelin did, because they did Gallows Pole, which they picked up from Lead Belly, and Lead Belly picked that up from Appalachia. And it was also something that was originally a child ballad. So you get how it all traces back. Now, the next track, although it was a child ballad, will not sound like it at all. Really strange. As it fits, it relates to a child ballad number 68, as opposed to like the previous one that we just played, which was, I think, was number 61 or something like that. But anyway, the band is credited as Nellstone's Hawaiians. It goes all the way back to 1929. The artists, there's a Hubert Nelson was a singer and steel guitar player, and James Touchstone was a singer and a guitar player. So thus the Nellstones and the Hawaiians, because they actually played a steel guitar. This is, as far as we know, the very first recording of anybody playing a steel guitar from Appalachia. It would become to the point where it became the most important instrument in country music. But this, if you go all the way back, this is literally the very first example of a steel guitar being used on a recording. The song is entitled Fatal Flower Garden.
Flower garden, and no one was allowed to go.
a gypsy, gypsy lady, all dressed in yellow and green. Come in, my pretty little boy, and get your ball again. I won't come in, I shan't come in, without my playmates all. I'll go to my father, tell him about it, that I cause tears to fall. Keep first, show him an apple seed, then again go ring. Then she showed him a dime, but that enticed him. She took him by his lily white hand, she led him through the hall. Put him into an upper room where no one could hear him call. Oh, take these fingerings off my fingers, smoke them with your breath. If any of my friends should call for me, tell them I'm at rest. There is a Bible at my head, the testament at my feet. My dear mother should call for me, tell her I'm asleep. There's a Bible at my feet, a testament at my head. If my dear father should call for me, tell him that I am dead.
Right. The subject matter is immensely dark, at least in the beginning with these, with the series, because the first selection of the first double album was called Volume 1, Ballads. And ballads can sometimes, especially in the terms of like historical, the word ballad usually means a very dark sort of a circumstance. With Henry Lee, we found it was about a knight being thrown into a well. With Fatal Flower Garden, well, here's the condensed version that Harry Smith wrote. Gaudy woman lures child from playfellows, stabs him as the victim dictates a message to parents, which is what we just heard. Tell them that I'm asleep. Tell them that I am dead. Oh, my God. You know, I got some lady just kills this kid for no reason, lures him into our house. Yeah, the subject matter can be very dark. The third track is something, a track that you might know. It's something that I was familiar with when I first got familiar with this collection of songs. The artist is Clarence Ashley. He would sometimes also go by the name Tom Ashley. It depended on what record label he was on. He pretended to be two different people, so he had two different contracts, I suppose. So that's how that worked. He played with a lot of groups. He played with the Carolina Tar Heels, the Blue Ridge Mountain Entertainers, Birdmore and the Hotshots, and a few others. He was a banjo player, but by the mid-40s, he injured his hand, so he had to stop playing. What happened after that is rather interesting. Somebody who had known him because of the Harry Smith's anthology of music had seen him at some convention. And he was like, oh, I really would love to record you. And he was like, well, I'd play much any longer, but he agreed to. So he brought along a guitar player friend for the recording. That happened to be Doc Watson. And that's how Doc Watson's career started. So you see, there's so much crazy history that comes out of the fact that these songs, as old as they are, to see exactly what impact they ultimately had on American music. So then, Clarence Ashley, the song is called House Carpenter, to let Harry Smith give you a head start as to what the song is about. Wife and mother follows Carpenter to sea, mourns babe as the ship goes down. Ay, ay, ay. Here's House Carpenter.
Well, maybe
said, well, Meg said a no to love. Well, Meg said he, I'm just returning from the salt sea, and it's all for the love of thee. Come in, my old true love, and have a seat with me. It's been three-fourths of a long, long year since together we have been. Well, I can't come in or I can't sit down, for I haven't but a moment's time. They say you're married to a house carpenter and your heart will never be mine. Now it's I could have married a king's daughter, dear. I'm sure she'd have married me. But I've first taken her crowns of gold, and it's all for the love of thee. Now will you forsake your house, carpenter, and go along with me? I'll take you where the grass grows green on the banks of the deep blue sea. She picked up her little babe and kisses gave it three. Says, stay right here, my darling little babe, and keep your papa company. Well, he hadn't been on ship but about 2 weeks. I'm sure it was not three. Till his true love began to weep and mourn, and he weep most bitterly. Says, are you a-weeping for my silver armor-gold? Says, are you a-weeping for my store? Are you weeping for that house carpenter whose face you'll never see anymore? No, it's I'm not a-weeping for your silver armor-gold, or neither for your store. I am weeping for my darling little babe whose face I'll never see anymore. Well, he hadn't been on ship but about 3 weeks. I'm sure it was not four. Till he sprung a leak in the bottom of the ship and it sunk him for to rise no more.
It's almost like you could trace every single thing that ever happened in America from this collection of songs. It's that stupendous. The first time I heard this, I was getting goosebumps. It might even be better to really hear it without me trying to explain everything in between all of the songs. But I will explain this. You're listening to WHPC, WHPC HD, Garden City. And the show is How Music Changed, and we are covering the history of American folk music, the anthology of American folk music, as it was put together by a man named Harry Smith. Now, with those three songs being very dark for child ballads, that last song, by the way, dates all the way back to the late 1700s, examples according to the lyrics change, of course, over time, but the theme stays sort of the same. Apparently, they were a lot more supernatural in the late 1700s than they were by the time they came to, they began to become a little bit more reality-based when they reached Appalachia, because the songs would change as they passed down. Everybody would change it a little bit. But once they became recordings, you see, it became set, because now everybody was hearing the same exact thing. So that's an important thing to remember. Now, selection 4 on the Harry James collection is by a guy named Coley Jones. Again, a very old song, going back to 1929. He is one of those guys that was signed to Columbia Records. So Columbia Records could have easily have decided that they could have sued for this for this other label with Harry Smith, Folkways Records, for publishing their song on an album. That was just so. But in 1952, the law wasn't really that clear. And not only that, but nobody cared about music that was 30 years old. It just wasn't that relevant anymore. And I'm saying, it was at that point in time, it was really barely 25 years old. 1929, the record came out in 1952. That sounds like forever, but that's 23 years. 23 years ago was 2003 or 2000, right? So what? That doesn't seem that long ago as far as music time goes, but it was huge as far as the music industry went. Now, Coley Jones was a member of a bunch of different bands, bands like the Dallas String Band, and he fronted the Coley Jones String Band, and he was the first man to hire a guitarist by the name of T-Bone Walker. So again, you see how all of this basically stretches out and becomes incredible. Well, here is some comic relief, at least, though, after all of the seriousness that we had. This song is called Drunkard's Special by Coley Jones. And the synopsis from Harry Smith reads, "Wife's logic fails to explain strange bedfellow to drunkard." I think you'll enjoy this one.
Last night when I went home, drunk as I could be, there's another mule in the stable where my mule ought to be. Come here, honey, explain yourself to me. How come another mule in the stable where my mule ought to be? Oh, crazy, oh, silly, can't you plainly see? That's nothing but a milk cow where your mule ought to be. I've traveled this world over million times or more. Saddle on a milk cow's back I've never seen before. Second night when I got home, drunk as I could be, there's another coat on the coat rack where my coat ought to be. Come here, honey, explain this thing to me. How come another coat on the coat rack where my coat ought to be? Oh, crazy, silly, can't you plainly see? Nothing but a bed quilt where your coat ought to be. I've traveled this world over million times or more. Pockets in a bed quilt I've never seen before. When I went home, drunk as I could be, there's another head on the pillow where my head ought to be. Come here, honey, come here, explain this thing to me. How come another head on the pillow where my head ought to be? Oh, crazy, oh, silly, can't you plainly see? That's nothing but a cabbage head that your grandma sent to me. I've traveled this world over million times or more. How on a cabbage head I've never seen before.
That cracks me up. That's the Drunkard Special by Coley Jones. another one of those songs as Harry Smith like gives you some explanation. He says there's two British texts of this song that are given in the child ballad books. And it is there. Most of them are sort of like the American version, where the song is also found in other parts of Europe too. So that it's nice that they get some relief there though, with a little bit of humor. So track number 5 is the fifth song, which is also relates to the ballads. This would be number 278. If it was going to go by the child ballad books. It's recorded by Bill and Bell Reed, somewhere from Virginia or Kentucky. Nobody's really quite sure. And it's mentioned that they only had one recording session for Columbia, again, Columbia, in Johnson City, which is where everybody was going to at the time to record. But that's where Columbia set up a base. I think that's where people like the Carter family and such, and, Jimmy Rogers, had gone. And be that as it may, they recorded this one song. This is the only one, actually, together, only one song, but they've also recorded a couple of songs with their children. So here's Bill and Bell Reed. The song is called Old Lady and the Devil, and the summary synopsis reads, "Medieval woman defeats devil despite husband's prayers."
There was an old man lived at the foot of the hill. He ain't moved away, he's a living there still, singing by diddle-lie, diddle-lie, bye, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day. He hitched up his hogs and went out to plow. I got around, we never knew how, singing by diddle-lie, diddle-lie, bye, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day. Old devil come to him in the field one day, saying, "One of your family I'm gonna take away," saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day. Take her on with the joy of my heart. I hope by golly you'll never part," saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Old devil got her all up on his back. He looked like a fiddler with a hump on his back, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Old devil got to the forks of the road. He said, "Old lady, you're a hell of a load," singing fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day. The old devil got to the gates of hell. Said, "Punch a bar up, we'll scorch you well," singing fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day. Out come a little devil, a dragging a chain. She picked up a hatchet and split out his brain, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Out come a little devil, a skating on a wall. Said, "Take her back, daddy, she's a-murdering us all," singing, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Little devil was peeping out the crack. Said, "Take her on, daddy, don't you bring her back," singing, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old man was peeping out the crack. He see the old devil come wagging her back, singing, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old man lay sick in the bed. She up with a butter stick and paddled his head, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old lady went whistling over the hill. Said, "The devil won't have it, I don't know who will," saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Now you see what a woman can do. She can outdo the devil and the old man too, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old lady went whistling over the hill. Said, "The devil won't have it, I don't know who will," saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old man was peeping out the crack. He see the old devil come wagging her back, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." The old man lay sick in the bed. She up with a butter stick and paddled his head, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day." Now you see what a woman can do. She can outdo the devil and the old man too, saying, "Fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, fire, diddle-lie, diddle-lie, day."
There you go. Guy tries to get rid of his wife, gives her to the devil, and the devil brings her right back. It's like, "I don't want her." Wow. That's pretty awesome. Old Lady and the Devil by Bill and Bell Reed. Now, Where things get a little bit set. We're ready for track six now, right, Heidi? Excellent. Okay. Buell Casey is the artist. He was a Baptist minister from Kentucky, Lexington, Kentucky. But he was a bit of a scholar about folk Appalachian folk songs. And although he was also a preacher, he would very often perform during whenever he was giving his speeches or whatever. He would like do voice recitals. And he included these things in his programs. Now, he recorded almost 60 songs for the Brunswick label from around 1927 to 1929. And he lived long enough to eventually survive the folk craze that was happening in the late 50s. And he put out an album on the Folkways label in 1958. So there you go. As I said, his name is Buell Casey. The song is called The Butcher's Boy, and we are back to really, really dark ballads once again. The synopsis reads, "Father finds daughter's body with note attached when railroad boy mistreats her."
Daughter, what troubles you? Oh, mother, I cannot tell that railroad boy I love so well. He's courted me my life away, and now at home there is a place in London town where that railroad boy goes and sits down. He takes that strange girl on his knee, and he tells to her what he won't tell me. Her father, he came in from work and said, "Where's daughter? She seems so hurt." He went upstairs to give her hope, but found her hanging on a rope. He took his knife and cut her down, and in her bosom these words he found: "Go dig my grave both wide and deep, place a marble slab at my head and feet, and over my coffin place a snow-white dove to warn this world that I died for love."
That's Buell Casey. And that one, that was The Butcher's Boy, a really sad song about having to cut your own daughter down because she killed herself because she was thwarted by a boy. Buell Casey gets two songs in a row on this collection because he's also song number seven with a song called The Wagoner's Lad. Smith, besides his synopsis thing, sometimes will write, well, he always writes down a little bit more information, and this is rather interesting. He says, "This composition, although approaching a ballad in narrative unity, is of the type classified as folk lyric. He characterizes these as almost exclusively love songs, most often of love denied or betrayed, but occasionally expressions of freedom recovered, in which the woman or the man says she or he will love whom she or he pleases, or that she or he cares. I just can't imagine how Harry Smith's mind works, or did work, to put all of this together and all of this work. I should mention that while that song was playing, we got a phone call from an old, longtime listener who I've become good friends with, named Frank. And he's pointing out, he goes, I'm probably the only person, not only in the area, but maybe not only the United States, maybe in the entire known universe, who would be playing this on the air. So if you're listening, I promise you, he's probably right. This is kind of unique that we are doing this, because it is music now that is coming up on being literally 100 years old. For example, this song that we're about to play was recorded in 1928. So that is 98 years ago. It's by Buell Casey, as I said. It's called The Wagoner's Lad, and the synopsis reads, local girls protest that a whip needs fixing, fails to halt the wagoning boyfriend's departure.
The heart is the fortune of all womankind. They're always controlled, they're always confined. Controlled by their parents until they are wise. Then slaves to their husbands the rest of their lives. I've been a poor girl, my fortune is sad. I've always been courted by the wagoner's lad. He courted me daily, by night and by day. And now he is loaded and going away. Your parents don't like me because I am poor. They say I'm not worthy of entering your door. I work for my living, my money's my own. And if they don't like me, they can leave me alone. Your horses are hungry, go feed them some hay. Come sit down here by me, as long as you stay. My horses ain't hungry, they won't eat your hay. So fare you well, darling, I'll feed on the way. Your wagon needs greasing, your whip is to mend. Come sit down here by me, as long as you can. My wagon is greasy, my whip's in my hand. So fare you well, darling, no longer to stand.
That's called The Wagoner's Lad. What we're doing is we're playing our way through a collection called The Anthology of American Folk Music. It was edited by a man named Harry Smith. It is available through Smithsonian Folkways Recordings. 84 songs on 6 compact discs. I will be singing the praises, or speaking, I'll be the singing to the artists, but of this record because it is so important. I'll be reading other things, excerpts that I've got from other people as we go through it, who also would say, famous people, who would say that this was one of the most important records that they've ever encountered in their entire lives, and they consider it to be the most influential record on them musically in their entire lives. So this isn't just me trying to play old music for the sake of playing old music. If you put it all together, you're going to hear the formation of American folk music coming together. Not just American folk music, but American like ethnic music as well. Eventually, we're going to be getting to Cajun songs. There's a lot of a lot of very early blues recordings, which all fall together as put together by Harry Smith. We have time for one more, and it's another. It's a pretty fun song. It's in his text. He writes, "In the register of the London Company of Stationers for November 21, 1580. Now, I'm going to stop right there. How the hell did Harry Smith find something from the London Company of Stationers from November 21st, 1580? That's crazy, right? But he did. And he says that there is an entry titled, quote, "A Most Strange Wedding of the Frog and the Mouse," which he says is probably a printing of this same composition that was recorded in Appalachia by an artist named Chubby Parker. Now, Chubby Parker was a pretty well-known guy back around 1928. There was a radio program called the National Barn Dance that was aired on WLS. Now, WLS was a station with the sponsor was Sears Roebuck, and they called it WLS, which stood for World's Largest Store. Back then, when Sears and Roebuck certainly was. So he was pretty famous, playing a five-string banjo and singing songs like this. This song is entitled King Kong Kitchy Kitchy Ki Mio. Say that three times fast. And I love, love, love Harry Smith's synopsis for what the song is about. Zoologic miscegenation achieved in mouse frog nuptials. Relatives approve. Well, so we'll leave you with this, and I hope you have fun with it. We will be back with a bunch more next Friday. Please tune in again. I promise you we're going to have some fun. See you next Friday.
Frog went a-courtin' and he did ride. King Kong, kitchy-kitchy-ki-me-yo, with a sword and a pistol by his side. King Kong, kitchy-kitchy-ki-me-yo, ki-mo-ki-mo, ki-mo-ki, way down yonder in a holler tree, an owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy-kitchy-ki-me-yo. He rode till he came to Miss Mouse's door. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. And there he knelt up on the floor. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Ki mo, ki mo, ki mo, ki. Way down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. He took Miss Mouse up on his knee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. And he said, little mouse, will you marry me? King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Ki mo, ki mo, ki mo, ki. Way down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Miss Mouse had suitors three or four. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. And there they came right in the door. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Ki mo, ki mo, ki mo, ki. Way down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. They grabbed Mr. Frog and began to fight. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. In that holler tree, twas a terrible night. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Ki mo, ki mo, ki mo, ki. Way down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, ki me yo. Mr. Frog hurled the suitors to the floor. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. With his sword and his pistol he killed all four. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-key, mo-key. Away down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. They went to the parson the very next day. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. And left on their honeymoon right away. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-key, mo-key. Away down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Now they live far off in a holler tree. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Where they now have wealth and children free. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o. Cry-mo-key, mo-key, mo-key. Away down yonder in a holler tree. An owl and a bat and a bumblebee. King Kong, kitchy, kitchy, cry-me-o.
Thanks again. See you next week. Bye-bye.
What an electrifying episode of American Hit Radio.
Electrifying? It was straight up fly to the max.
I'm just so sad that it's over.
Aww. Don't be sad, because this show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by AmericanHitNetwork.com.
What the heck is AmericanHitNetwork.com?
On AmericanHitNetwork.com, you can listen to archived shows of American Hit Radio, check out playlists, interviews, album reviews, and learn how music shaped the world.
Okay, that actually does sound fly to the max.
Don't steal my catchphrase.
This show is brought to you by On the Road Again Motorcycle School. Hi, I'm Steve Bertolini, the president of On the Road Again Motorcycle School, and I'd like to tell you that life is short, so live a little by learning how to ride a motorcycle. Classes are available from beginner riders to